Amen. Good morning. We're so glad to have you with us and our visitors. Like Jerry Clower used to say, we got so many ways here, you're bound to like some of them. So we hope you'll come back and see us. We're still talking about Abram. This is our last message on him, but not the last message on walking by faith. I just feel so impressed by the Holy Spirit that he wants us to spend some time in the Old Testament with the Old Testament saints and talk about what it means to walk by faith. And as we've seen, he showed us the mistakes of these saints. They're in the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11, most of them are. And they were men and women of faith, but they were also humans that had frailties and they made errors and they tried to get ahead of God. They tried to manipulate God, and God in his mercy would forgive them, and he kept on course that his will would be done. We're going to talk about this morning when God tells Abraham to offer his son Isaac. The text this morning is Genesis 22, 1 through 19. For our guests, we have the word on the wall. I use the English Standard Version, and this way we're all reading out of the same version. It said, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come to you again. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to the young men, and they arose together, went to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. Father, I thank you that your word always accomplishes what you send it out to do. I thank you for the Spirit of truth who is here, the Spirit of Christ. And I ask, Lord, that you will open our eyes and our hearts to receive from heaven. Lord, I ask that I would decrease, that you may increase. as we learn about walking by faith. I want to give you all the glory and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. We talked last Sunday about the incident with Sarai and Hagar when she took her handmaid and gave her to Abram for a wife and said, well, God's not going to let me have any kids, but Hagar can have them and they'll be mine. And when Hagar became pregnant, she looked on contempt with Sarai, I keep jumping back and forth, with Sarai, and she was treated very harshly, and she ran away. Well, an angel of the Lord found her in the desert and told her, go back home. You're going to have a son. You're going to name him Ishmael. He said, he'll be a mighty man. He'll be a wild donkey of a man. He'll live in the desert, and everybody's hand will be against him, and his hand will be against everyone else. So she goes back, and she bore Abram a son and named him Ishmael. And Abram was 86 when he was born. Now, after the incident, it's recorded that God didn't speak to Abraham or implied for 13 years. Now, he's not mad at him, but God is abiding his time that he's going to fulfill his promise. He let Abram know that I'm not going to give Ishmael the covenant. He's your son, so I'm going to bless him, but he said he is not going to be in the covenant. And you know, that's one of the big things the Arabs and Jews still fight over. The Arabs say, we're Ishmael's descendants, so we're the sons of God. And Israel says, no, you're not. And the Bible says, no, you're not. So Abram is raising Ishmael, and I can imagine he's raising him to respect God and to worship God. And then 13 years later, it says God revealed himself to Abraham, and he said, excuse me. God introduced himself to Abraham, and this time it was by the name God Almighty. Now, before, you remember, God said, Abram, don't fear. I am God, your reward. God has different names, different titles. It's the same God. This time, he reveals himself to Abram as God Almighty. The Hebrew word is El Shaddai. If you've heard that song Amy Grant used to sing about El Shaddai. El Shaddai literally means God all-sufficient. It means God who pours out blessings. 13 years after Ishmael was born, Abraham hadn't heard a word. It's implied he hadn't heard a word out of the Lord. He's still moving around. And God appears to him 13 years later. Well, now Abram's 99. And God says, by the way, your name's not Abram anymore. He said, this time next year, your wife will have a son. And the Bible says Abram laughed to himself and said, will I, an old man, and this old woman have a son? And he said, oh God, that Ishmael could live before you. Abram, this man of faith, was faltering a little bit, and he was saying, Lord, I don't have it in me. You know, I can't father any more kids. You should have come 12 years ago. You know, maybe then I could have done it, but I can't do it now. And God ignores that comment. Well, not really. Actually, God said, no. Ishmael is your son. I'll bless him for that reason, but he's not part of this covenant. God said, you will have a child, you and Sarah, from your bodies. And God said, I'm so convinced of that. This is my interpretation. He said, I'm going to change your name. He said, you're not Abram anymore. Abram meant exalted father. God said, your name now is Abraham, which means father of a multitude. He still doesn't have any kids. Remember, the Lord calls things that are not as though they were. God had a plan. And he was sharing that plan with Abraham. And Abraham said, well, let Ishmael be the one. God said, no, he can't be the one. I'm going to give you a son. And he said, your wife Sarai, don't call her Sarai anymore. Her name is Sarah, which means princess. And he said, out of her there's going to be kings and mighty people coming. And he said, there'll be a multitude of nations be blessed from your offspring. Now, for years, the Jews thought that meant through them. And in a sense, we were blessed through the Jews because that's who Jesus Christ came from. But the Apostle Paul points out in Galatians, when God said, and through your seed, he said that's singular, not plural. He didn't say seeds as many. He said, through your seed, one, Jesus Christ, all the nations will be blessed. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And it said, as soon as God was done talking to him, Abraham was circumcised. 99 years old, and he was circumcised. Ishmael was circumcised at 13. The Arabs still do that. When a young man reaches the age of 13, he is circumcised and considered a man. And all of his male servants that he had bought, those who had been born in his house, were all circumcised. So God told Abram, this is what you'll do. In fact, when he revealed himself as El Shaddai, he said, you walk before me and be blameless. How'd you like God to tell you that? I'm your God, but you better walk blameless. Well, God, don't you know that we still have a nature of sin? Bless God, we just can't help but sin. He didn't say that to Abram. He said, be blameless. He didn't say be perfect. He said, be blameless. And Abram fell on his face. And God said, now you're Abraham. See how God operates? God operates in faith. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And God, in faith, said, you're Abraham. You're going to have nations come out of you. And he said, this time next year, your wife Sarah is going to have a son, and you're going to name him Isaac. The word Hebrew is Isaac, and it means he lasts. He said, you're going to name him Isaac, and I'll make a covenant with him and his offspring forever. And it said, then the Lord left. When he got done talking, he took off, and Abraham circumcised himself, his son, and all his male servants. Thank you. Oh, well, I lost the word there. After this, him and Sarah go into the land of the Philistines. They go to the capital city, Gerar. And again, he says, now you're a very beautiful woman. Tell them you're my sister. Because if you don't, they're going to kill me and they're going to take you. Can you imagine Sarah at this time? Sarah is 90 years old and she's still so beautiful that men look at her and say, I want her. And Abimelech, the Philistine king, saw Sarah and he goes, wow, what a fox. That was from my term, fox. That's what we call a good-looking girl. And he asked Abraham, is it okay if I marry? He goes, well, she's my sister. So he takes her. But I like this. It says, that night, God spoke to him in a vision and said, you're a dead man. He said, that woman is another man's wife, and he happens to be a prophet of mine. And if you don't give her back, he said, I'll kill everybody in your house. God can be harsh, but God's just very upfront with how he's going to deal with things. And Abimelech said, now, Lord, I did this in the integrity of my heart. He said that he was her brother. She told me that he was her sister. And he said, and anyway, I haven't touched her. And God said, I know I kept you from that. He said, Abimelech, I know you did it in the integrity of your heart. God gives him that. You did do it in the integrity of your heart. But he said, it ain't right what you did. And if you don't repent, y'all going to die. And Abimelech took Sarah and brought her to Abraham. He said, what did I do to you? How come you didn't tell me that she was your wife? He said, because I figured there's no fear of God in this place. He said, anyway, she really is my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not my mother. So Abraham's dad was a polygamist. He had more than one. And that sounds gross to us today, but people talk about how clannish Mansfield is, outsiders, and say, boy, this town is cliquish. You should have lived back in those days. Those folks didn't trust anybody that didn't come out of their blood. And a lot of times the young men married their sisters because dad didn't trust other women. And he knew how them girls was raised, and he knew what kind of wives they were going to make, and God hadn't put a law out against it yet. The Bible says when there is no law, sin is imputed. Now, in the law of Moses, you read where God says you cannot marry your kin. He said, I'll judge you for that. But at this time, he isn't judged. And it said Abraham prayed, and God healed Abimelech's other wives because he had closed their wombs where they couldn't conceive and have children. You know, when my grandsons go out with young ladies and I hear about it, you know what I pray? God do to them what you did to Abimelech. When I find out some of our young people are in sexual sin, I say, God do to them what you did to Abimelech. Make them unable. Let the Spirit of God come on them where they, in terror, they pull back and go, oh man, I can't do that. And I believe God listens to me. All right, after this happened, Abimelech made a covenant with Abraham. Remember, he's the king of the Philistines. And he said, I know God's with you, so I want to make a covenant with you that I won't do you any harm, you won't do me any harm. And Abraham said, all right, I'll swear to that. Now, we find out later in the book of Judges, the Philistines break that covenant, and God comes down on them hard. He's a God of covenant. They made a covenant, and the Philistines broke it. This is later on. Now, God shows up again, and he says, Abraham, he said, I want you to take your son, your only son. He wasn't disowning Ishmael. In the course of time, Isaac was born. I left that out. And everybody was happy. Everybody was rejoicing. And they named him Esau. He last. And Sarah said, who would have thought that at my age, I'd have been nursing a baby? I just want to reach in there and slap her every time I read that. God been telling you for 25 years. You know, everybody in this room, and I believe this including myself, we know that nothing is impossible with God. If I ask any of you, is anything impossible, you'd say no. But I don't know if he'll do it for me. That's the problem. I know God can heal the sick, but I don't know if he'll heal me. I know that God can cause people to prosper, but I don't know if he's going to do that for me. You got these TV gurus telling you, oh yeah, just send me your money and God's going to give you seed money back. That's so I can get more money out of you is all that is. You just as well invest on the stock market as give it to those guys. But I want to tell you something. John said, we know that God hears us if we pray according to his will. I believe God can save my children. I just don't know if he will. See what I mean? Well, how do I know that he will? Because the Bible says he's not willing that anyone should perish. That's a promise we can all take. We're praying for our lost loved ones. That's what we ought to pray. God, you said you don't want anybody to perish. I'm holding you to your word. I want you to work on my child until they're so miserable they got nowhere to look but up. God comes to him. Ishmael mocked Isaac when Sarah weaned him. They had a big celebration. That was a big deal. He was going to start eating solid foods. And said she caught Ishmael mocking Isaac. And boy, mom come up in her quick. She'd waited 25 years for this kid, and here this punk kid is making fun of her, of him. And she goes to Abraham. She says, you get rid of that servant woman and her son. She doesn't even call it your son. She said, her son, get him out of here. She said, that boy will not share in the inheritance with Isaac. And instead it grieved Abraham. Now, understandably, that's his flesh and blood. And God said, listen to your wife. Sometimes, guys, I think if we'd really listen to the Holy Spirit, we'd hear him say that sometimes. Listen to your wife. You know, don't get the big head and think that you're the only one with the answers. Listen to your wife. Ask her advice. I make a lot of jokes about me and my wife, but I ask her advice. I ask, what do you think about this? And I finally told her after 34 years of marriage, she quit saying, well, how do you feel? Don't ask me how I feel. Ask me what I think. If you ask me what I think, I'll talk to you. You ask me what I feel. I don't know what I feel. I'm a man. You know, and I'm not going to get all ooey, ooey, and gushy. I hate that on TV. I see them men talking. I just want to say, oh, man, man up. Acting like a little sissy standing there weeping, trying to show them you're sensitive. God made me different than he made you ladies. And don't try to make a woman out of me, and I won't try to make a man out of you. See? But God said, Abraham, listen to your wife. So he sends them away. Well, now, Hagar, remember, God's appeared to her before, and it says she put Ishmael under a bush about a bow shot's distance. With a good bow, you're talking maybe 100 yards. And she went and sat over here because she didn't want to see him die. Now, she had already been promised by the Lord that that boy was going to father a nation. Is she walking by faith? Not at the moment. She's in despair, no hope. Well, there goes my living, you know. There goes my home. Now I got this 13-year-old boy, and I don't know what to do. And God appears to her, and he says, look. Look over there. There's a spring of water. Her water jug was empty. It said the Lord opened her eyes and showed her a spring. She went and got water, and the Lord reminded her. He said, I'm going to make him a mighty nation because of Abraham. But he said, you got to go somewhere else. Even God told her, you don't belong here. You know, Paul said that Hagar and Ishmael represent the covenant on Sinai. Metaphorically. Because God said, Ishmael will not be an heir with Esau. Ishmael was a child of the flesh. Abram naturally was able to father a son. God waited till Abram was 100 years old. And Sarah said one morning, guess what? I'm pregnant. Abram says, I know that had to be the Lord. Yeah. Now, Paul said that Abraham did not stagger in his faith. Abraham had doubts, didn't he? We've read of that. He had doubts. Two times he said, God, I just don't have it in me. Why don't you let this one be the heir you're talking about, and we'll get it all smoothed out. And God kept saying, no, that's not my plan. You are going to father a son. And Paul said Isaac was a child of promise. Guess what else Paul said? Christian, you are a child of promise. You are counted as the seed. Oh, that just irked the Jews when the church first started. Oh, that irked them. Them nasty old Gentiles can't be saved. And Peter was preaching to a group of them one day, and the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they heard him speaking in other tongues and praising God. How'd they know they were praising God? I think they were doing it in Hebrew. And these Jews went, wow, listen to them. Peter went back to church at Jerusalem, and they said, how come you associated with Gentiles? I couldn't believe that. Boy, what an attitude for a church to have. We don't have nothing to do with them Gentiles. Peter said, what was I going to do? God poured the Spirit out on them, and I ordered them to be baptized. And the Jewish church said, well, God really did call us to save the Gentiles. Well, duh, that's what he said when he left. But even we, walking by faith, sometimes the road gets hard. And we reach a point that we feel, I can't do this. And that's where God wants you. Okay? When Abraham had given up in his own power and saying, I can't do this, Paul said, but he didn't stagger in unbelief. That's the problem, church. To walk by faith doesn't mean that you're positive all the time. You can have doubts and fears, but it's what you do with that doubt and fear. When you allow that to control your life, you're sinning and you are acting in unbelief. You're telling God, I don't believe you. Abraham laughed and said, am I going to have a kid at this age? Sarah laughed and said, am I going to have a kid at my age? And God said, why did Sarah laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. Telling God she didn't laugh. Like, he can't hear it. He said, you did laugh. And God said, is anything impossible for me? Well, she didn't say anything. Smart girl. She just shut up. There's time to be quiet. And listen. Sarah just went, whoop. God gave him the baby. Don't you know how much they love that boy? I bet he was spoiled rotten. You know it. Little kid like that, he got everything he wanted. When they went to Walmart, he could point at something. Boy, they just grab it off the shelf. Yeah, we're going to get this for little Isaac. Because he brings us such joy. And then the Bible says God tests him. Now, we don't know exactly how old Isaac was, but he wasn't a little bitty baby. You notice God spoke to Abraham and not to Sarah. What would Mom have done if God said, I'm going to have Abraham take Isaac out and offer him his burnt offering? She'd go, yeah, no, you're not. I'll cut his throat and swear he died of natural causes. So God didn't include her in it. Abraham, he said, I want you to take your only son and take him to a place that I'll show you and offer him as a burnt offering. A burnt offering could be a sin offering. It could be a fellowship offering. God never asked anybody to do that. And I've heard people today, they'll kill a child and they'll say, God told me to do it. You're just full of stuffing as a Christmas turkey. God only said that one time. And it said God was testing Abraham. What a test. How do you think Abraham must have felt? You want me to do what? Burn my only child on an altar to you? But he does what he always did. When God told him the covenant of circumcision, he was circumcised that day. 99 years old was circumcised. All of his male descendants were circumcised. All the slaves that he had. Now God said, go do this. And it said Abraham got up, saddled his donkey. Some of the Bibles say split the wood, but he cut the firewood for the offering. He took fire from home because they didn't have matches in those days. You know, so he grabs a torch and a knife, and he takes two servants, and you hear his faith the whole time. Me and the boy are going over here to worship, and we'll be back. He's starting to learn to talk like God talks. God said, I'm going to have you put him to death. And Abraham says, me and the boy's going up here, and we will be back. You know why he said that, according to the book of Hebrews? He said, because Abraham knew that God could raise the dead. And Abraham thought, if I kill this kid, God's already promised that he's going to be the blessing of the offspring. He'll bring him back to life. But I got to do what God says. And he takes him on the mountain. And the part that gets me is when his son says, Father, here's the fire and the wood. Where's the sacrifice? Oh, if I'd have been Abraham, I'd have broke down bald. You know, how am I going to tell my kid, you're the sacrifice? But what did Abraham say? God will provide a lamb. Now, God called him a prophet. He prophesied right there. He was talking about the Lamb of God in the future, but he's also talking about right that time. He said, my son, God will provide the lamb. He went as far as to tie him up and lay him on that wood, and he took the fire in one hand and the knife in the other. What they generally did was cut the carotid artery on the animal that they were going to sacrifice. They bleed out very quickly that way. And Abram takes the knife and he gets ready to stick it in that kid's throat. And an angel of the Lord says, Abraham, Abraham, here I am. He said, don't touch the kid. God said, now I know that you fear me because you didn't hold your only son away from me. You didn't withhold him. And there's a passage here that refers to us today. The writer of Hebrews brings it out. God said, I swear by myself that I'm going to bless you. There'll be nations come from you. There'll be kings come out of you. And he said, and in your offspring, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And I told you, Paul pointed that out in Galatians, the seed was Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews says, we can be sure of our salvation, of what God has done for us, because by two immutable things, he's talking about when God swore by himself, God cannot lie. And he said, by that fact and the fact that God said, I swear by me, there was nobody greater he could swear by. He said, we can have an assurance who have fled to him for refuge. Even with all my faults and my failures, I can go into the throne room of heaven boldly, the Bible says, and asked for help because God swore by himself that he was going to give it. He swore by himself he was going to give his son on the cross so I didn't have to suffer for my sins. Jesus didn't pay a debt on the cross. We say that mistakenly. The wages of sin is death, and the death is eternal. In the lake of fire, eternal separation from God, eternal spiritual death. So if Jesus had to pay our debt, he'd have to die a lot, over and over and over and over and over. Jesus atoned for our sins. He shed his blood as the lamb did at the burnt offering, and his blood was given, and when he shed that blood, God the Father said, that's it, that's all I'll accept. And I still hear people say, well, I believe in God, and I believe if I just do these good works and go to church on Sunday and put some money in the plate and I don't talk ugly about the preacher, I'm going to go to heaven. Well, I hope you don't bank on that. I can't get you into heaven. You'll not ride my coattails. If I get into heaven, it'll be by the grace of Jesus Christ that I'm there. You bet. What a God. He tested Abraham. Abraham passed. And God said, I swear by myself, Abraham, there's a seed coming that's going to bless all nations. And that seed is Jesus Christ. Did he keep his promise? He sure did. He shed that blood, and that blood still will wash away sins. That blood will still make a sinner pure. It'll make a drunkard into a teetotaler. It'll make a drug addict clean if they will but come and ask. It was shed for everyone. Jesus said, so whosoever, you're a whosoever, I'm a whosoever. Maybe we ought to change the name from the Christian church or the church of whosoever's. That might get people coming in and saying, oh, what's this about? Well, I'm a whosoever. That's brother whosoever, our preacher. There's brother whosoever, he's one of the elders. And sister whosoever, while she plays piano and sings sometimes. You know, like on Blazing Saddles, everybody in that town's name was Johnson. So, if this was the church of the whosoever. Now, I'm making a little lie to that, but Jesus said, whosoever will may come. Christians, we are commanded to walk by faith, but I hope you can see in these lessons that we will stumble and fall. We'll have days that we doubt and we wonder, and God does not boot us out of the kingdom for that. What he does, this is why I encourage you to get in the Word, stay in the Word. God, through the Holy Spirit, will come and speak his Word into you. I've had it happen so many times I can't count the times when I'm doubting and I'm wondering and God's gives me his Word. What a God. And when I sin, he rebukes me, but he doesn't stop loving me. You can do two things with God's chastisement. You can bear up under it and become a better person, or you can wrinkle your nose at him and go, I'm not going through this, and you can take off. The Bible says you rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. A lot of unwise people in the church today. I'm here today. You try rebuking somebody, boy, it'll come full blast back at you. I had an incident this week. I'm going to tell you, going through these lessons, I feel God strengthening me and holding me more and more accountable. And I talked to a Christian sister this week that told me she liked to use crystals to find unmarked graves. And I didn't say anything. I went home. Shame on me. Shame on me. And I went home and I ate lunch and I thought about what she said and I prayed about it and said, God, please open her eyes. Oh, Lord, let her know that she shouldn't use those crystals. 2 days later, the Lord said, you go talk to her. Yeah. I said, oh, man, God, you know, I don't like confrontation, believe it or not. What if I go there and she cusses me out? God said, then you shake the dirt off your feet and you go on. But he said, I want you to go there in my name and say what I tell you to say. Nervous. I pull up there and her husband comes up and goes, hi. I said, I need to talk to your wife. He goes, what? He stormed out of there and come got her. But I knew he was around the corner listening. I said, sister, I have something from the Lord if you'll receive it. And she looked at me kind of funny. She said, well, okay. I said, God does not respond to crystals. I said, when you use those crystals, that is the spirit of witchcraft. You are messing with a power that is so much more powerful than you, and you don't understand the consequences of it. And I said, let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep fooling with those spirits, and you're going to lose your soul. She said, well, I pray to God. I said, you're not listening to me. God doesn't hear those prayers. I said, the one you're praying to is the God of this world. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. And I said, sister, you need to repent and throw those stones away and don't ever use them again. And she put her hand up on her chest and I said, is she going to die? You know? And she looked at me and she said, you don't know how much I appreciate you coming and telling me that. I was wrong. She said, I didn't know what I was doing was wrong. Boy, yeah, I'm a man of God. I walked out of there and I said, Lord, thank you for using me. Not proud, humble. I said, thank you for using me. And I wonder how many times in my life God's tried to get me to do that kind of stuff before, and I ignored him. Something you need to see in the life of Abraham, and it's demanded in every one of us Christians, if you call yourself a Christian, Jesus said, if you don't take up your cross every day, you can't be my disciple. The cross is a death sentence. Abraham was willing to give God everything he had, and the most dearest thing that he had was his son, and he was willing to give that. I saw an interview with the man that played Christ on Passion of the Christ. You want to talk about a man in touch with the Lord. He said, Mel Gibson liked to use God's name a lot in vain. He said, I had my makeup on and everything. And I looked at him and said, that's my father you're talking about. And he said, Mel took a puff cigarette, blew it at him. And he talked about that. He said, when I went up the hill and they tied me to that cross and they pulled the cross up, he said, I got hit by lightning. And he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, how far you want to go with this? He said, you're experiencing a little bit of what I went through. How far do you want to go? He said, all the way. He said, God, if I'm to die, right here is the best place I know of to die. Just go ahead and take me. Well, God didn't take him. But he said, I've got an awareness of God that's deeper than any I've ever had. And I'm telling you, I am growing. And this isn't bragging on me. This is talking about Jesus. I am growing. And I'm at a place I've never been in my Christian life. And it seems like God's putting more on me in that way. Go talk to her. Pray for this person. Do that. And I love it. Because when I obey, I have the joy and the fellowship of His Spirit. And I have the experience of doing what God tells me to do. Even if the world doesn't understand it. Praise God. What a God He is. With all of His faults, Abraham's fault, he messed up. He acted in unbelief sometimes. He didn't lie because Sarah was his sister, but he didn't tell the whole truth. And God still said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. If he was looking for somebody perfect, there wouldn't have been anybody to make covenant with. But he was looking for somebody who was obedient. Stand with me, please. Are you willing, Christian, to give your whole life, everything in your life, to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to go to the mission fields if he calls you? Or go into some type of ministry? Maybe you're here this morning and the Spirit of God's moving you to join this church or to be baptized. I'm going to ask that you would come forward as we sing our song of invitation. Remember the word. The Lord said, don't harden your heart as your fathers did in the wilderness when they tried me and tempted me and I put up with them for 40 years. Listen to the Spirit while your conscience is still soft enough to hear from Him. As we sing, there is a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus the God's Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah.
Participate, you're more than welcome. If you can't, you have to leave. I understand. Just kind of file out quietly, if you will. Brother Larry has the closing prayer. Is he here? Hope? Okay. Would you close for us in prayer, please?
Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we're thankful, Father, to be here this morning and thankful, Father, for your Son, Jesus, who gave his life on the cross so that all that praises and obeys the Word of God will name Jesus as Lord and Savior. Father, we're thankful for the one that came forward this morning. We're very thankful for the church here at Mansfield. Thankful for all that serve the preacher. Father, we pray that you'll always be with us in spirit and truth and number. We also pray that you be with those who are not with us, Father, whether they be sick, spiritually or physically, Father, we pray that they'll soon be back with us. We're also thankful for our troops, Father, in foreign lands, and we pray that you'll be with them and keep them safe and well. As we go home, Father, we pray that you'll be with us this week, and strengthen and guide us all the days. till we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you'd like to stay, you may be seated. I'm going to pray at the end of this for some prayer requests that were handed to me. So, there we go. Belongs to me, not for the time alone, but for eternity. Tonight, Dr. Mark will be teaching the pastoral epistles in Timothy, 2 Timothy. In November, I go on a 2-week vacation. Dr. Mark will be filling the pulpit. And also on Sunday night, he's starting a classes on marriage and parenting. So if you're married or you're married and have kids, come on down. Dr. Mark's going to talk to you about the scriptural way that we raise our family. I have some prayer requests here. It says, pray for DJ Gill. That's Bud and Karen's nephew. He's having trouble with his kidneys. They think they were damaged while he's practicing mixed martial art fighting, and his blood counts keep going up and down, showing that he's having trouble with his kidneys. So be praying for DJ Gill. Also, Lane Hanger is waiting results of blood test, and they're asking that we pray for good results. If I understand right, he's got too many red blood cells. So be praying over that. Okay. Lane, get with Doc after the service. Maybe you guys can work out a trade. Also, the Reed family. You remember Susan Reed and her kids. Dustin was killed in a motorcycle accident, her youngest boy. So be praying for Sue. She just lost her husband to cancer, and now she loses her youngest son. So please lift them up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and what it accomplished today, and for the brother that was obedient to the call. And Father, we want to lift up these prayer requests to you. We pray for Tim Carnell, Lord, with the colon cancer, and they say now that it's spread to his lymph nodes. But Lord, we know you're a God of healing, and we ask you in the name of Jesus to touch him and to heal him of this cancer. We pray for DJ Gill. And Father, we pray that his kidney function is going to line out, that his levels will go back down to normal, and that he'll be a little smarter because of this incident, Lord. We pray for Lang Hanger and ask that the blood test results are going to come back good. Father, that you'll put your hand upon him with that healing touch. And we pray for the Reed family. Be with Susan and her children as they mourn the loss of Dustin. I just ask, Lord, that the comfort of your spirit will be upon her. And I ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As I said, if you need to leave, well, you can leave quietly.